Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Trucking 101, Surviving Your First Year with host Melissa Grimm. We'll talk about safety, managing your money, and real life out on the road. Our group has over 100 years of combined real-world driving experience. You've got questions? We've got answers.
Hello, and welcome to Trucking 101, the show that will not only help you survive, but thrive in your first year. This show is not just for new drivers. It is also for experienced drivers looking for an outlet to share their knowledge. So if you have a question, a comment, a topic, a concern, press one, and we'll get you on the show, whether you have questions or advice. I'm going to go ahead and bring on my co-host, Russ Morgan. Hey, Russ, how you doing tonight?
I am doing better than my truck is.
Well, yeah, that's trucking. They do go in the shop from time to time.
Yes, they do go in the shop from time to time. And, yeah, this one is a little pricey. So.
Well, your truck's been a trooper, though, so.
Yes, it has. It's definitely been a trooper and what have you. So, anyway, yeah, parts should be here in the morning and hopefully early tomorrow afternoon I am back to hauling freight. So
awesome.
Yeah. Let's hope we can hopefully they won't find anything else wrong, so at least I can maybe control some of the expense here. So
yeah.
Well, yeah,
exactly.
I knew this was coming in, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You held off for as long as you could.
I held off for as long as I could. And, yeah, when the fuel mileage started going to the toilet, it was time to repair a truck. So.
Right. Right. Yep. Yeah. That's a good indicator. We could talk about that when we do another maintenance show. Fuel mileage is a great indicator to telling you that something's wrong with your truck if it starts to drop. You know, so that's a good reason to pay attention to it. Even if it's not your truck, you pay attention to the fuel mileage, that's a clue that something's going wrong.
Right, right. Yeah,
but,
and I had
but that that's for yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'd been seeing clues and I'd had some smoke tests done. I knew I had some repairs coming up. So anyway, finally, yeah, I got it over here, getting it fixed. So anyway, go ahead with what you were gonna say, then I'll start in on what I've got listed here for me.
Yep, that's a great topic for another show. But tonight, we are talking about training. Mainly, we want to focus on the importance of paying attention while you're training because, really, it's a safety thing. The reason you go through training is to making sure that you're going to be safe out on the road and you're not going to hurt or kill anybody or damage anything because, you know, you basically got to 10-story building rolling down the road, so you definitely need to pay attention when you're training because this thing can cause a lot of damage. So I know you have a couple of things that you wanted to go over on that topic, and I'm also going to make another announcement here in about 10 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, I a lot of people that are on here or that have listened to us know that I spent quite a bit of time as an instructor teaching people how to drive trucks. And anyway, I had dinner with a lady I used to be an instructor with, and she was telling me about a current student. And anyway, I mean, this student, I don't know if he just doesn't want to listen to women or what his issue is, but didn't want to listen, period. Didn't want to pay attention. And let me tell you, this girl is, she's been doing it a long time. She's really good at what she's doing, at what she does. Really good at what she does. And she has turned out some excellent, excellent drivers. And this guy just absolutely wouldn't listen. They were making a right-hand turn, and there was a, I believe it was a tree-trimming truck. Anyway, some kind of a a construction type vehicle truck sitting right there on the corner. And anyway, she kept telling him to stop, stop, stop. And he did not. She finally had to reach over and pull the brakes on him. And then told him to look in his mirror. And she had pulled the brakes when he was just a few inches from hitting the fender of the truck, of the little pickup. I think it was a tree trimming truck or whatever it was that was there. But anyway, my point is, you know, as to, you know, pay attention, you know, especially if you're going to move up in class, a license up. If you're going to drive out here commercially, it's basically pay attention. Pay attention to these instructors. They even tried changing instructors with this guy. You know, sometimes you may have a personality conflict with an instructor or something like that. You know, it never hurts to go have a sit down and say, hey, look, I don't think you're, you know, you and me are getting a long ride or something. Anyway, they tried that. You know, the other instructor had pretty much the same problems. They are training these guys for oil field work. The oil field is taken back off. I know in Texas it is for sure. I'm not sure about everywhere else, but Texas it is for sure. And, you know, they don't play. These locations do not play at all. These big companies, you know, Halliburton, Baker Hughes, Schlumberger, every one of their rules is written in blood. And I spent quite a bit of time running around in the oil field and training people in the oil field, you know, with trucks and, you know, and all kinds of equipment. And, you know, if you don't listen, I promise you, you will get escorted off a location quick, fast, in a hurry. You know, it's the same thing with, you know, when we go to customers. I've been to some customers that I thought they had absolutely ridiculous rules. But, you know, if I wanted to pick up my freight or deliver my freight, I had to follow their rules. And, you know, it all kind of goes back to, you know, training and paying attention and knowing what the rules are, knowing completely what the rules are. You get out on, on the oil field location or at a customer and don't follow their rules, you know, they may pick up the phone, call your company, and tell you that you're not welcome back. I know of a few instances where that has happened. I know of several instances on oil field locations where that had happened. And because the oil field, their rules, every one of their rules are written in blood. And I'd be willing to go out on a limb and say most of our customers that we go to, their rules are pretty much written in blood. Where was I going with that? I had my note here and I lost it. Anyway, my point is, you know, pay attention to what the rules are. You know, try to be safe and, you know, do your job. You know, make sure you're not running over somebody out here, you know, like that guy was. You know, he could have very easily injured you know, the workers that were around there by simply not paying attention. I mean, he told her that he had never seen the truck. You know, he didn't see the truck at all. And I'm sorry, when you're making a right-hand turn, you know, at least when I'm making a right-hand turn, I know I'm kind of looking that direction and trying to look in my mirror, makes, you know, see what's on that corner, you know, see if there's people on the corner. Texas loves, especially Dallas, loves to put telephone poles right on the corner. You know, see what's on that corner. Are you fixing to run over something? You know, even backing up at these customers. Before I back up at a customer, I walk my little area where I'm going to back up real quick, make sure there's no nails. I mean, wide singles suck to repair, trust me. You know, I sure don't want a nail or something like that. But, you know, I want to make sure that there's something else there that I'm not going to run over. I don't know. I'm sure everybody in the trucking industry has heard get out and look. It's written on tons of mirrors. I see it every day. Anyway, we're not quite to your announcement, are we?
No, not quite, but you mentioned telephone poles. Didn't you have, like, a personal experience with a telephone pole in Dallas and a trainee?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, this another guy that didn't want to listen, and we were making a right-hand turn, and I was, he started into his right-hand turn, and I kept telling him to stop, stop, stop. He decided to keep going. Anyway, I reached over and I pulled the brakes on him, and we had a come-to-Jesus meeting right there with horns blowing, fingers flying, and a bunch of really mad people at a busy intersection in Dallas because, you know, he wouldn't stop the truck. He wasn't listening to me. And he was probably about 8 inches off a pole at about mid three quarter of the trailer. And anyway, we had our little discussion right there. I got out. I got traffic to move around us where we could back up. And then I got back in the truck and I drove us to the yard. They ended up putting him with another instructor, and I'm trying to remember. I think he finally did make it through, but he had the same problem of, you know, not wanting to listen, not wanting to pay attention to what we were telling him. I can tell a quick oil field story. I see Blue wants to be on the air tonight too.
Yeah, she wants to go outside, really.
Oh well. Anyway, I was I had brought an acid tank out because there was an acid tank that was leaking on location, and I'd brought another acid tank out and was fixing to set it. I was fixing to drop it in line and hook it up with the rest of the tanks. Well, the guy that had brought the vacuum truck out, he brought a properly lined vacuum truck out, but it was not properly equipped. Long story short, he did not make sure that he had brass fittings on his truck. And I was over there working on this equipment, and the pewter fitting let go. The acid had actually ate through it. Acid ended up coming down the pipe, and I ended up getting burned. Let me tell you, it is not pleasant standing on a active oil field drilling location with absolutely nothing on, getting sprayed by water hoses. So I had done everything right on my end, except for one thing. Well, number one, I should have went and checked his equipment. But I didn't check to make sure that there was a trailer shower there on location. So I end up standing in the middle of a location being sprayed by water hoses to get the acid off of me. So it comes down to paying attention and following the rules. And a bunch of people dropped the ball that day because some of our safety equipment was not there. And it could have been a lot worse than it was. I've got a little bitty tiny scar left from it, and that's it. But it really could have been bad. Because, you get on, I keep using the oil field, but even at our customers, I mean, you get on these locations that are busy as heck, and, you know, they want you to back up to, like in my case, maybe back up to a rig or back up and hook up to another tank or anything like that. And, I mean, it looks like you're trying to drive through an anthill. I mean, there's stuff everywhere, people running around everywhere, and, I've had the same thing at customers. Pull into a customer, and there's 20, 30 trucks in there, and the whole place is big as your thumb. And, unless somebody kind of gets out and directs everything, everything kind of comes to a halt. Trucks end up running over each other and what have you. But basically, you know, if you're in training, if you're going to become a truck driver or, even current truck driver, you're backing up, man, put your windows down. Somebody, may holler at you for something you don't see. Have that window down to hear a horn or whatever. And if you're training, by all means, listen to what the instructor's got to say. Us that have been doing it forever, we're going, all right, yeah, same old crap. Well, you kind of get complacent. And that's when bad things start to happen. You get comfortable out here, and next thing you know, you've run over something or something's running into you. So, anyway, you want to go with your announcement?
Yeah, we made this announcement last week, but I'm going to go ahead and make it again. I'm going to say it pretty much every week until the contest is over. But for those of you that didn't hear, I didn't make the announcement last week. Actually, Becky did. For those of you that didn't hear last week, Let's Truck is having a CMC ticket giveaway. They are letting each podcast, us being one of them, give away one seat at the CMC, at the 2017 CMC. What we're going to do is we're going to have a contest. If you have never been to the CMC before and you have not already registered for the 2017 CMC and you're absolutely positive that you can take the week off in September to go to the CMC, go ahead and write a paragraph about why you want to go to the CMC and submit it to the Trucking 101 on Audio Road Facebook page. And if you haven't already liked the page, go ahead and like the page too. But just go to Trucking 101 on Audio Road, go to the messenger part of the page, send us a quick little paragraph about why you want to go, and we'll pick a winner July 31st. So it's a really great opportunity. It's worth, what's the price up to now, like $1,500 for a seat? So
I don't remember.
Somewhere right around $1,500 for a seat. Breakfast and lunch is included. They don't do dinner, and that doesn't include your hotel. But there is a truck stop right down the road from the Mac Center, which is where it's going to be. So if you didn't want to get a hotel, you could very easily camp out in your truck and walk over to the center or drive over, whatever you want to do. Walking is healthier, though. But anyways, so yeah, we'll be giving away a seat. All you got to do is write a paragraph and send it in to our Facebook page via the messenger, and we'll pick a winner July 31st. We do have a caller on the line, Russ. He had a question. He actually said he wanted to ask you a question about his wife and his her future in trucking, but I'll go ahead and let him ask it. We got Glenn in California. Hey, Glenn, you're on the
air. Hey, Russ. Thank you. Hey, Russ, how you doing today? Melissa.
Hey, I'm doing better than my truck, but I think I already said that.
Well, I know your subject was training today. I'll just say one little thing about that real quick. I was listening to you talk about trying to get around telephone poles there in Dallas. One thing that is probably good for new drivers to remember, if you're coming in, especially if you're going to make a right turn on an intersection you're not familiar with, if you'll go ahead, if there's no traffic in that lane next to you on the left, just go ahead and take that lane too and give yourself all the room that you can to make that turn. It's always good advice. That's my little input on the training part of it that I could think of. Two things for you, Russ. Number one, I hear you talking about that you did a lot of instructing. And I just put my wife through this little truck driving school, and she wasn't doing too good for the first 3 or 4 days. She wasn't really getting it. So I called the guy that run the school and asked, could I come and, help her out? And they just basically gave me a truck, and I became her instructor, and that worked out really nice. And then, of course, whenever school was over, they wanted me to quit truck driving and come to work for them. And I told them, I couldn't really do that because I needed to, get back on the road. I needed my wife to have some kind of form of employment. But What was your reason, number one? I have another question for you, but why did you end up not being an instructor anymore and went back to driving?
Well, I got I kind of got tired of repeating myself. I had gotten bored with it for a little while, and I actually considered going back to it here recently. I've had a couple of really good offers from the oil field to do that. I got tired of repeating myself. I got a little bored with it. It paid good. I was really making some good money doing it. And I did enjoy it. I mean, I'm almost always done something to help people. I was firefighter, paramedic for a lot of my life. And, you know, and I enjoyed the aspect of teaching. I mean, it was always fun. I trained a medical doctor who retired. Well, he was a dentist who retired. I trained an airline pilot. All walks of life. So it was really interesting meeting the people. And I really enjoyed it. But, I kind of got bored with it. And Becky and I decided that, we were eventually going to start the business that we have now. And so we decided to get out and team run and really pile up some cash, and which is what we did. So,
yeah, that's a thing that I was scared of. I'd be scared I might get bored with it, but it was nice being home every night. And actually, I lost 6 pounds in those 3 weeks. I was pretty happy about that because I was out there on the pad, all day just walking next to her. Explaining her how to do the maneuvers. And I'm going to tell you what, she's from the Philippines. She never even drove a car until a year before she went to truck driving school, and she probably didn't have maybe 200 miles driving a car before she went. But it's just like all of a sudden the light just came on, and she figured out how to make that truck back up and turn any way she wanted it. Matter of fact, when she did her they actually do the CDL test there for the state at the school, and they give you like they score you points against you, for every time that you have to pull up over 2 pull-ups or you touch a cone or something. She got 0 points on all of her tests. So I was
wow.
I was very proud of both of us for that, for my cost of being able to teach her and hers being able to learn it. But anyway, get on to the next subject I was wanting to ask you about. I'm quite a bit older than she is, so I'm going to be retiring. I'm 56 right now. I plan on retiring when I'm 70, so I got another 14 years. But I'm about 27, 28 years older than she is, so she's going to need something to do after I quit truck driving. And I've been toying around with getting my own authority, actually here probably in the next 3 or 4 years maybe. I've got a direct customer I can haul for from California out to the East Coast, and then I'll just have to find, either brokers or try and find me a customer to get back to California. But I just don't really know if I want all those headaches, or maybe I should maybe get like you guys are, but just be a fleet owner and lease some trucks on somewhere. And I just want to get your thoughts about that. It kind of helps when you actually speak about it instead of just going over with in your mind. If you can actually talk to somebody about stuff like that, it makes more sense to you sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We're working towards our authority now. Don't get me wrong. Being a fleet owner here has been it's been good. It's had its ups. It's had its downs. Let me back up before I answer that question. So since your wife's going to be driving a truck, do yourself and your wife a favor. Teach her everything about operating that truck. You said she can back up. Don't try to be chivalrous and say, all right, I'll back in the hole. By all means, share responsibility on the truck until you get independently wealthy, and then, if you get hurt, she can operate the truck. That has been one of my pet peeves with husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend teams, that they're not that the wife can't do everything that the husband can on the truck. By all means, you'll be doing yourself a favor because, one day you may hit a patch of ice and go down, break a leg, and, especially if you've just bought a truck and, you're making an extremely high truck payment, now who's going to operate it? So by all means, please teach her all that, what to look for on a pre-trip, and so on and so forth.
Well, but, yeah, well, I'll just say, make a quick comment. I'm guilty as charged in that, because I do that. Everything else, I teach her, you know, pretty much everything that you can know, because I was a mechanic before I was a truck driver, so I teach her, you know, all the mechanical and pre-trip, about everything you can, but we haul LTL out to the West Coast and all around California, and it's really difficult. I mean, they don't even hire anybody here without 5 years experience. We like going to all the nightmare places, little mom and pop places, and you're backing across the street in the middle of downtown LA and stuff like that. But I'm guilty as charged. There is some places that I should be letting her back in, but I'm not. And I'm glad you said that. I'm gonna start working on that more and start getting her to back into more places than she is right now. But I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just want to say that.
Oh no. Well, hey, and that's a really good thing to do. I mean, very seldom when we team drove did I ever get Becky out of bed, and very seldom did she ever get me out of bed. Now, there's times when, you know what, you need somebody on the ground watching, and you need somebody backing that truck up, you know, because we used to run out to we were in California twice a week, and I know what you're talking about. There's some nightmare holes out there. But, yeah, by all means, you know, let her try to hit some of those tough backs. Don't let those skills get rusty. And, man, and teaching her the mechanical side, you know, being able to walk around that truck real quick if y'all are dropping and hooking or doing whatever, but walk around that truck real quick. And, hey, do I have any oil coming out anywhere? That's freaking awesome. Now, the as far – let's see, your question was oh, yeah, that's right, comparing the two. All right. Let me tell you, over here at Snyder, it's pretty simple. I mean, I get on their load board, and I look around on the load board, and I can easily book myself $3,800 to $4,500 a week and usually never travel any farther than about 2,200 to 2,500 miles. And then if you're going to be a fleet owner here, the trick is, or what we found, when we talk to people, I want to hire somebody that has a business mind. You know, if you Becky really has the skill probably better than I do, but we'll start talking to them. And if you don't have a business mind, I really don't want you as a truck driver, because – you can ask Melissa, you can ask Steven, you can ask, you know, anybody who's worked for me over there. I don't tell them what to do. I don't tell them when to go home. I don't tell them where they have to run. I don't tell them when to come back to work. Their paycheck with me is their own fault, period. Now, if you got a problem with the truck or whatever, by all means, the door's open. I mean, I've been called in the middle of the night, you know, and, hey, we got an issue. All right, hey, let's work it out. You know, if you need help with whatever, by all means, I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to train you, and I'm going to get you through it. But like I said, you know, I want somebody that can think for themselves. If, you know, hey, if you got a wire broke on the truck, you can maybe get under there and fix it yourself. If you get, you know, you get an air leak that, you know, maybe you can get under there and put a I can't even think of the adapter now. But anyway, you know, fix something temporarily, at least you can get to the shop. Now, going out with your own authority, especially somebody that you can haul for, that really has a lot of pluses too. Because, you know, with a big company, with a lot of big companies, you tend to be micromanaged. And you know, I don't particularly care. You know, I don't particularly like being micromanaged. But, yeah, if you have a direct customer you can haul for, and especially if you can find a good backhaul or even a direct customer coming back, I've been asked several times, hey, do you have your own authority? Can you fill out some papers with us and haul for us? And I've run into that quite a few times. Just running their freight. So, Noah, I don't know if you listen to Kenny Long do his stuff, but those guys are doing pretty well. I mean, as long as you're doing smart business, they're doing extremely well. And like I said, we're leaning toward – I mean, we're fixing to go that direction. And everybody who's been working for me now is probably going to be contractors for me.
So I mean, anybody that's thinking about doing that should really listen to all the. I mean, I listen to all the shows. I'm at least 2 years out, and I'm trying to go ahead and plan now. And I'll just say one more quick thing about this show. When I first heard about it, surviving your first 100 days or year, whatever it was, I'm like, it's probably going to, nothing I want to hear. But I've been driving 32 years, and I can tell you right now, anybody that's listening, if you listen to this show every week, you're probably going to learn something, and you never quit learning in truck driving.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I learned stuff just doing this show. And because, I started the show with, I went to dinner with a girl I've known forever, was an instructor. And she starts telling me this story, and, I mean, it starts triggering stuff for me to talk about. Well, you know what? We haven't talked about this in a while. We do compliance corner. We talk about safety stuff a lot, you're completely right. I mean, it's stuff that you need to keep running through your mind, or you're going to get complacent out here, and then you're going to find yourself talking to some attorneys or the police or somebody you don't really want to talk to. And I don't like paperwork.
I'll say one more thing, and then I'll let you get on to your next business. I just thought of one more piece of advice that I had an old truck driver tell me when I first started truck driving. I was having a hard time backing into the spot, and he walked up to me. He said, "Son, let me give you some advice right now." He said, "Always take your time backing in somewhere." He said, "If you got a guy in your truck and look 15 times, you might feel embarrassed because other people are waiting and other people are watching you, but you're going to feel a hell of a lot less embarrassed than you will be if you back into somebody's truck."
Oh, yeah. You brought up a good point right there. One night I was tired. I had a reserve spot at this Pilot that was tight as an old fat lady's sock. And happened to catch a guy walking across the parking lot. And I've got a couple little GMRS radios. I'm a ham radio operator, but I had a couple of the GMRS radios in the truck, and I handed him one. And I said, "Will you stand back here and watch? I'm tired. It's been a long day." And, I mean, there was no room for error at all. And he stood back there, and he would say, "All right, you need to stop. You need to pull up. You're too close on this side, too close on that side." He saved me from probably getting in and out of my truck, 30 or 40 times, for the simple fact I was tired and it was tight. He got me in the hole and, fairly quick, and I hit nothing, which is, the ultimate goal. I didn't have to wake somebody up and explain to them I'd run over their truck.
Okay. Well, that was a really good call. Thank you very much, Glenn. Ev, anything else you want to talk about on the training side, Russ?
Oh, I don't know. I could probably talk a bunch of training. Did you get cut off on your on what you were saying about the CMC? Or
no, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. I'm excited to go this year. It's supposed to be. Matter of fact, I was sitting in the shop talking to Chad about it, and Chad and Chris, and definitely excited to go. I did learn there's going to be a big surprise there for everybody. I did learn that.
Oh, really?
So, and I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag. But
don't do that. Don't do that. You have to sign up to find out what the surprise is going to be.
Yeah. You need to come up there and find out what it is. I got to see bits and pieces of it. So, and was threatened with large tools. So.
All right. I just had another caller pop up. I'm doing double duty tonight, screening calls. So if you want to, give a little CMC advertisement while I grab this call real quick.
Well, I can do a little CMC advertisement, or I'm sure I can come up with something.
Whatever you want to talk about, just give me a minute.
Just give you a minute. All right. Well, go screen your call. Yeah. I know. Yeah, she's doing double duty tonight with no call screener, but. Yeah, you know, we've been talking about safety training, CMC. Well, even the CMC, I mean, they have the, you know, they've been having the maintenance boot camp. And even, you know, even if you couldn't make the maintenance boot camp for one reason or another, you know, you always have Chad and Chris out there in the yard. You know, Chad's doing alignments, and his crew are out there working on trucks, and then you've got Dale out there, you know, doing level one inspections. You know, just hanging out in the parking lot and watching these guys work, you know, I don't know how much stuff I have picked up, you know, about, you know, alignments, tires, doing repairs on trucks. You know, even safety aspects on trucks, you know, watching Dale do his full level one inspections. I don't know how many trucks he's caught at the CMC that needed serious repairs right then. Anyway, yeah, as far as safety, you know, I believe it was Glenn, I'm terrible with names, had mentioned about making those turns, you know, making those tight turns at Dallas, or like you even said, Los Angeles over there. Los Angeles is terrible too for tight corners. He's talking about taking into the other lane. I do the same thing. You know, if I've got a bad corner or a corner I'm not real familiar with. Now, I don't completely hog both. Well, I do hog both lanes, but I keep my trailer usually against the right curb, and I get my tractor over into a lane next to me and do kind of a button hook turn. That way I can tend to protect both sides when I'm coming around the corner. you know, that way I'm not hopefully, you know, a little four-wheeler doesn't decide to sneak around me and, you know, then I crush them when I go ahead and make my right turn. But, yeah, in, you know, in training and in this whole safety aspect, you know, I can't stress enough, you know, follow the rules. You know, nobody wants to get thrown off a location. I mean, you know, if you get thrown off a location, you may get thrown off a job. You know, you may be in the unemployment line. You know, and if it's a bad enough violation, you know, you get that put on your record, then, you know, you may not be able to get hired by a big company or a good company or something like, you know, something along those lines. And I've seen it happen. I've witnessed it happening. Where, you know, stupidity got in the way and, you know, I'm sorry now, you're unemployed. You couldn't follow the rules and, you know, you've torn up a piece of equipment or you did something that could, especially in the oil field, that can cause mass catastrophe. You know, like I said, there's a customer I go to. I mean, I do not like their rules, but the loads pay great. And you know what? I follow their rules. I go in there. I do my little business, and I follow all their rules they want me to do. And then when they say, all right, you know, you can go back and hook to your trailer or do whatever I need to do, then I go do it. But the load pays enough for me to, you know, to put up with their rules. You know, it's just like running through the oil field. I mean, I ran a vacuum truck and I ran a winch truck for the most part, and, you know, and trained. And matter of fact, I helped build the training program where I was. And there are several times I went to the boss and would say, hey, look, this person here, yeah, they can, you know, they can pull the hoses, they can gauge tanks, they can, you know, load the truck, they can unload the truck, but they're not safe driving the truck, or, you know, or they're not getting the operation of the truck. Some of our tanker trucks, we had 120, we could build up 120 PSI on a hose. And I watched somebody take that hose and, you know, and pop an earlock off, and a 20-foot, 4-inch hose, went blowing off the back of a tank truck and slammed into some tank, into some other tanks. If somebody had been in the way, I mean, it would have been bad. It would have been real bad. But, I mean, it's bad enough it did it in one of these big frack tanks. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, slow down, pay attention to what you're doing, and take time and follow the rules. So do we have a caller yet, Melissa?
Yep.
Did I speak in my...
Yes, we do. Yep, we got Paul in Arkansas. He's got a question about training in the U.S. Hi, Paul, you're on the air.
You know, I'm not sure if it's a question or a comment, but I think they should start training truck drivers a lot younger than what they do. It's like, oh, you're not old enough. You have to be 23 or you have to be 25. The best sports people or the best race car drivers or the best at anything, usually they start when they're young. But when it comes to trucking, oh, sorry, come back when you're 23 or 25.
Mm.
I started driving. I got my license when I was 18, and that's all I ever wanted to do. But usually the guys that are the best at it, they've been doing it a long time. They started young.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. It reminded me, number one, I got my commercial license. I was 19. In the state of Texas, I can't speak for other states, but in the state of Texas, I was allowed to drive within the state of Texas. Now,
which is a pretty big area.
Yeah, which is a pretty big area. Exactly.
Yeah,
it's a lot of area. Anyway, there was a kid that we hired in at the oil field, and he was 21, and I started asking him questions. Well, he had been driving trucks since he was 18. He got hired on with Budweiser. The local Budweiser over there was hiring kids at 18 years old and allowing them to go and make deliveries, you know, in the local area there. Which, I mean,
well,
I thought was great.
That. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know,
the local beer delivery truck, it's a smaller truck, and that's the perfect place to start and work your way up. But I think it's kind of silly that you could run interstate or intrastate in Texas, but you could start in El Paso and go 880 miles all the way over to the Texas state line, but you couldn't cross over into Louisiana. That's kind of stupid if you ask me, but...
I completely agree. And, you know, this kid had been, well, he had technically been driving trucks since probably before he had a license. He grew up on a ranch. He grew up, you know, driving farm tractors, moving cattle trailers, with a dually pickup and stuff like that. And, you know, and then Budweiser hired him to run those, the shorter trucks. I think he was like a 40-foot trailer or something like that. I don't remember. He told me, but you know, but yeah, I mean, when I got a hold of him, man, this kid was awesome at backing up on these locations. We had some of these locations that were nightmares. I mean, we'd be hauling mud to them or hauling water to them or something like that. And, people that could really back good, we had them doing blindside backs, and now we had spotters on the ground. But, I mean, this was tough, and I mean to tell you, this kid was putting it right in the hole every time. And, you know, he took almost no training. I mean, we had to teach him how to operate the equipment, but he could drive the absolute fire out of a truck.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I completely agree with you. I would like to see that get a little younger. I mean, I realize kind of why they don't. I know how I was when I was 18. You know, I had that great big foot, and, you know, if I'd have had the big truck, well, of course, I got mine at 19, but, you know, I had calmed down really about 19 and really wanted to, you know, mess with driving trucks and stuff like that, and, of course, driving the bigger fire equipment and so on and so forth. But, yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I would love to see some of the younger guys be able to do that, but problem is it's most of the insurance companies that don't want it, from what I've seen. You know, most insurance companies, they I think even over here, I think you have to be 23.
No, they don't want you to drive a car to your 25.
Yeah.
Oh, you might have a wreck. So come back when you're 25. You still have no experience, but you'd be a better risk.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I know how it was when I was a kid. I mean, I had that big foot and what have you, you know, the big heavy foot. But matter of fact, I think my last speeding ticket, I was probably 19 years old when I got it. I calmed down and that's something I wanted to do. And I became good at it. You know, I became good at, you know, firefighting and being a paramedic. I just got tired of being broke and truck driving paid better. So I decided that, you know what, I've had enough of doing this. I'm going to drive a truck and try to build a business out of it and make a good career out of it. But yeah, you are 100% right. You know that, these younger kids, should be able to do the job. You know, they really should.
Yeah. I guess some of us are just looking at the world through a different window. So.
Right. Yeah. Cause you know, I was amazed with that kid. I really was. I don't know if it was his upbringing and what have you. I mean, he grew up farming and ranching and doing that stuff. And, by the time he got to where he could go out and do it for Budweiser, I'm sure when he went and took his road test for his CDL, he probably floored all those people. Because, I mean, he was, you know, he could back into any hole.
He already had the skills. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. He had the skills. Exactly.
Okay, that's all I got. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
All right. Well, hey, appreciate your call.
Oh.
All right.
Oh.
Go ahead, Melissa.
Oh no, I was just saying. I just noticed we have another caller on the line. You got another CMC or training story you want to share while I grab this call?
Oh, I don't know. I might, or you know, we could have some. You know, we could have 30 seconds of dead air. Who knows? I'll figure out something.
Okay, sing for us.
Oh yeah.
Welcome to the show. Do you have a question? Hello? Hello? Okay.
And took care of, she must have.
No, that was my fault. I hit the wrong button. Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. So nobody heard me talking or singing anyway, right? Anyway, so do we have a caller? Oh, she must have left me. Okay, where was I going with that? But anyway, yeah, this kid was safe, had the skills. Had to teach him how to operate a little bit of equipment. And actually, before long, I had him operating a winch truck and setting frac tanks because he had the backing skills. And especially with the truck that I taught him on how to set frac tanks. I'm sure most of you have heard, give me 40 acres, I'll turn this rig around. Well, that's about the turning radius that this Peterbilt had. It was terrible. I've never had a truck that had this bad of a turn radius. So, you know, trying to stack these tanks in as close as we did was a nightmare. But he went out and set tanks with me all day one day, and he got to where he could go set them by himself. So, are you back?
Yep. Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button, so it got a little messed up there. But we have another caller who has a comment about starting training at a younger age. His name's Kevin. Kevin, you're on the air.
Hey, how are we doing? Great show.
Good.
Back, I'm from Ireland, and they started a program there a couple of years ago in Ireland, where at England too, where when you're 18 years old, companies will take you on and train you, and for the first year, any infraction whatsoever, you're out of the program. So even just like a parking ticket, you're put off the thing. So it really, because I know what you're saying there. Like when I was 18, let me tell you, I had a heavy right foot. So this really keeps you, if you're interested and you want to do it, you will really watch your P's and Q's while you're driving. And it's working great back there. There's lots of kids now gone through it. some of them are driving 4 or 5 years now, and, you know, they're turning out to be great drivers. I know one guy that went through it, and, I mean, he's light years ahead of guys that are at it for 10 and 15 years because they have so many bad habits they picked up over the years. You know, and he's really enjoying it, and it really gave him a start, because otherwise he'd have to wait 4 or 5 years before he could start driving. And by that time, he might be just, you know, sick of it, and he wouldn't bother driving then. He'd just be, you know, whatever, I'll do something else. I'll find some other career.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. But, you know, and I completely agree with that. I mean, you know, when you get behind the wheel of one of these trucks, you know, it gives you a whole different outlook on driving. It really does. I mean, my kids call me Grandpa now. When ever since I started driving a truck, they're like, you drive like a grandpa. And I was like, yeah, but you know what? I don't run over anything. But what, you know what I noticed from doing that, and because I taught all my daughters how to drive, and I made them learn how to drive a standard shift. Every one of them had to learn. I had an old beat up Chevrolet four-wheel drive pickup, and I had a VW Beetle that were both standard. And that four-wheel drive pickup taught them clutch control, because I could put it in the low range, and then they could just kind of learn the clutch. And then once they got to where they were shifting through the gears and what have you, you know, then I'd put them in the Beetle, which is a whole lot harder to take off in than that pickup was. And but then they kind of got my driving style, and you know, have grown up to be very safe drivers. You know, and it's the same thing. You know, when you crawl into the truck and you get that different perspective, you know, it completely changes your driving habits, everything. And yeah, I can see that program really, really working, especially when with very, very strict rules like that. But it shouldn't take them long to, you know, once they're out there operating the truck a little bit, to go, you know, okay, this can get real serious real quick. You know, what if I do something? What if I were a kid and done something stupid in front of a truck? You know, I've just hurt myself or hurt others or killed myself or whatever. But, yeah, that is awesome. I would love to see that coming over here. I'm not sure we could get the insurance companies to go for that. But, I would love to see some of the companies doing that.
Yeah, a lot of the companies actually get an insurance break, because the drivers are so, like, by the time they're 22, 23, they're really good drivers. Okay. They have nothing on their license. You know, they have no problems on their license. And it's, I mean, compared to the drivers, you know yourself, you drive for, you know, you got over 1 million miles driven, you know, things happen. But, like, when you know that your career hinges on you doing everything right, then you do everything right. You know, whereas if you know you make a silly mistake, you know, it's going to be all right, but no one's going to look at it. But now with dash cams and, you know, you got telematics in the trucks, everything is being watched now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we've talked about this on the show before, but when the wife and I go out, if anybody's going to drink alcohol, then the other one drives home, period. And I don't care. I don't mean if we go to a dinner and somebody has one beer, that person has just been knocked out of driving home, period. And my brother used to kind of give me a hard time about that. And, you know, he's like, well, you know, it's just one beer. And I said, well, yeah, it's just one beer. But then we had a close friend of ours get into a bad accident where there was some drinking and what have you. And anyway, kind of it completely changed his attitude. So, you know, now, I mean, if we go out to a restaurant and decide we're going to have whatever, you know, it's either one person doesn't drink, or, you know, it's a cab ride home. And, I mean, we have left a $40,000 Jeep with no top on it, no doors on it, anything, sitting at the restaurant one night because – both of us had something to drink, and, you know, we got a ride home. We went and picked it up the next day. But, you know, my point is, you know, ever since I started doing this, I've got a whole new respect for, you know, for driving, for driving, period. You know, when it comes to, you know, even having one beer, you know, then I'm done. You know, I'm not driving a vehicle. I'm done. And hey, I'll take all the ribbon in the world over it. But you know, the fact that I know that I'm going home safe and the motoring public is going home safe, you know, hey, rib me all you want to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we've pretty much blown through that hour. We only got about 4.5 minutes left in the show. So I just want to talk about the CMC for just a minute. If you haven't been to the CMC, sign up for our contest, and you might win a free ticket to the CMC. If you have been to the CMC, you know how great it is, and you should definitely go again. I've gotten a little snippets of what it's going to be like this year, and it sounds like it's going to be really good, one of the best ones yet. So you should definitely sign up and go for sure. It's going to be one of the best, I do believe. You're going to be really impressed. I know I'm going to go. I've been, 4 or 5 times? I can't even remember. I lost count. I've been like 4 or 5 times, and I want to keep going back because it is just fantastic. Right, Russ?
It's fan-freaking-tastic.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite parts of it is hanging out with everybody in the parking lot, you know, sitting around the trucks. You know, somebody's usually barbecuing and, you know, just the interaction with people, with, you know, like-minded business people there that want to see you succeed. They want to succeed. They want to, you know, see this, you know, make this kind of a better world for us. You know, I can't say enough about it. It's a week of fun. It really is. It's a tiring week. It's a very tiring week, but it's, you know, extremely fun. And, you know, the education that comes out of it is phenomenal. I wonder if it was last week or week before about sitting over in Lane 3, sitting there on the soundboard at Lane 3. And, you know, all that was a little new to me. You know, I was dealing with brokers and so on and so forth. But I, you know, really got a lot of good information, even though I was working and couldn't sit there and catch it all. You know, all the speakers just did an absolutely amazing job, you know, throughout the whole event. And especially over there, I mean, I was, you know, really, really floored and sitting there listening to something that was a little new and something that, well, you know, of course, I'm stepping into now. So, but yeah, it definitely a blast.
Absolutely. And I know Dale put out an open invitation. Even if you can't attend the CMC and you're going to be driving through the area, feel free to come in, stop by. He'll be out in the parking lot. You can ask him all kinds of questions you want. You know, he'll be out there inspecting trucks so you can walk over and talk to him and anybody else that's there. Even if you're not attending, you can go out to the parking lot and talk to people. But I would highly recommend attending.
Yeah, I would highly recommend attending. As a matter of fact, I've had a buddy, he's popped in a couple of times. He's yet to be able to attend, but he has popped in a couple of times and nosed around, asked some questions and what have you, and, you know, he enjoyed doing that. He got to, I don't know, I think he spent about 2 or 3 hours there messing around and visiting with everybody, and, you know, he's been dying to go. And he just hasn't made it yet.
Well, tell him about the contest. Get him to enter into the contest. Maybe he can get a free ticket.
Maybe I should enter. Well, I guess I'm not qualified.
You've already been. You don't qualify. Yeah.
Yeah, I've already been. I don't qualify. And I will probably be working it anyway. So, but, yeah. You know, hey, write us a paragraph. Tell us, you know, why we should pick you, why you want to go, you know, what the benefit of it is. But write us a quick paragraph, send it, you know, to the Trucking 101 page. Go over to Messenger. It is Messenger on there, right? Yeah, go over to Messenger on there. Write us a quick paragraph on why we should pick you. And when we do pick you, you know, then we're going to pick on you a little bit and bring you onto the show. talk to you a little bit, kind of get to know you. And then at the end of the CMC, I'm sure we'll bring you back on the show and get your thoughts on it and how it was for
right.
you, what you learned from it, and how your whole experience was.
Yeah, it's gonna be lots of fun. All the other podcasts are running contests as well. I know Kenny Long is doing a secret word, so you actually have to listen to his show to get the secret word and submit it in order to get your entry in the contest. I'm not sure what the other two are doing. You might roll. You want to go over to their podcast, check it out, find out what they're doing for their contest. But Rolling Toe is on every Sunday night at 9 p.m. So go check out their podcast. It's really good, and they'll be running some kind of a CMC contest. Like I said, Trucking with Authority with Kenny Long. Yep. Sorry about that. Mike and Kevin Beckett, excellent tire and alignment experts. Excellent podcast. Tuesday nights at 8. Is it 8 or 7? I lost my notes.
I'm thinking it's 7. I don't know. I don't have my notes here on that one there either.
No, I think it's 7. Sorry about that. Yeah, it's 7 p.m. Eastern. They're doing a contest as well. It's a secret word. So go check out that podcast. And then on Wednesdays, also at 7, is Rico Muhammad with Rates and Lanes. I don't know what kind of contest he's doing. I haven't heard anything, but go over to his podcast, check it out, find out what he's doing, and get yourself a free ticket to the CMC and listen to the podcast. All kinds of great information.
Don't forget about the Kevin's Broker Show. Now I can't remember what it is.
Broker Connect.
Broker Connect, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Mondays. Yep. Monday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Well,
and then also Destination Health at Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern. And that's pretty much all the time we have. So we're going to talk to you guys next week.